Well, we're going to change a little here today.
Good.
I can't help it. I had it born and bred in me to play a guitar a little bit. Not much.
Good.
Here's a banner over me. It's love.
Can you sing?
His banner over me is love. He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love.
Sing.
His love, his love, his banner over me is love. He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love.
Once again.
His love, his love, his banner over me is love. He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love.
Amen. Sorry, say amen here, isn't it?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Well, now, this week we may be teaching some new courses, and then we may not. See, they won't be new to you if you already know them. But so I don't know, so I have to start off on one, and I sing it, and then if you know it, you just join right in. And then if you don't know it, we'll find out pretty quick. And then we kind of learn it real quick.
Take a time. I don't have any.
I thought this was a inspiration.
My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do.
Now we're going back to Sunday school together.
My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do.
And that is true, is it not? Amen. All right, this is one. When we go off to the Bible conferences, we hardly ever get through a session out on the front porch without doing this. And the kids love it, and of course the grown-ups do too.
God is good to me, God is good to me. He holds my hand, he helps me stand. God is good to me. God is good to me, God is good to me, he helps me climb.
What?
He holds me tight, he helps me climb. God is good to me.
There's another verse.
God is good to me, God is good to me. I hear his call, give him my all. God is good to me.
It's hard to play and do the motion.
Yes. Ready. God is good to me. God is good to me. He holds my hand. He helps me stand. God is good to me. God is good to me. God is good to me. He holds me tight. He helps me fight. God is good to me. God is good to me. God is good to me. I hear his call, give him my all. God is good to me.
Amen. As Brother Stanford says, now listen, it's okay to put in there the fight. We fight the good fight of faith.
Is that not right?
That's true.
Sure. We fight the good fight of faith.
All right. One more maybe, and then we'll do our duet.
Yes, sir.
Because you're going to speak.
Who can move the mountains that are hindering us today? Who can pick them up like pebbles, clear them from the way? Who can prove this power when a Christian kneels to pray? It is Jesus, He's the one. Jesus holds all power in His mighty hand divine. He's the one who heals us and turns water into wine. He makes all things possible and He's the friend of mine. Blessed Jesus, He's the one.
Now I was not hearing too much, so did that muter all of you?
Yes, sir.
Huh? You don't have to raise your hand. All right. Who can move the mountains? Do we have any mountains this morning? Who can move the mountains that are hindering us today? Who can pick them up like pebbles, clear them from the way? Who can prove His power when a Christian kneels to pray? It is Jesus. He's the one. Jesus holds all power in His mighty hand divine. He's the one who heals the sick, turns water into wine. He makes all things possible, and He's a friend of mine. My, isn't that great to send that? A friend of mine. Blessed Jesus, He's the one.
Who can move the mountains that are hindering us today? Who can take them up like pebbles here from the way? Who can prove His power when our Christian kneels to pray? It is Jesus, He's the one. Jesus holds all power in His mighty hand divine. He's the one who heals the sick, turns water into wine. He makes all things possible, and He's a friend of mine. Blessed Jesus, He's the one.
Amen. Now, Mr. Schwartz is going to come up here. Join us. Now, they don't know this. You don't have to wonder about this. Might be a little different, but they will know the song.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home, a band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home, well, tell all my friends I'm coming too. Coming for to carry me home, swing low. Coming for to carry me home, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Face to face I shall behold You. Far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.
All right.
I think maybe we're going to have a first at the Park of the Palms. Who was it said Park of the Palms?
I said to Bob the other day that we are really buffeting our bodies and growing in grease.
Would you just hold these,
please?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Bob, I think this might be a first. I don't know that this has ever been done before, but how many of you were born and raised in an area other than the Southland? Well, I do not want to offend any Southerners who are here. I want you to know that I was born and raised in what was at one time the capital of the Confederacy, Richmond, Virginia. Until things got too hot, and then it moved to Montgomery, Alabama, was it? And I am one who firmly believes that had we had another can of Spam, we'd have won that war. But some of you have had and continue to have difficulty in understanding the Southerners. Is that correct? So we thought we would just take a couple of minutes each morning. And now we've had some courses, as if you were children. Now we're going to have some words to help you in speaking and understanding Southern. Okay? I think this will be of help to you. Now, I want you to tell me what this word is. What is that?
Iron.
A-R-N. How do you pronounce that?
Iron.
Iron. No.
Arn.
Arn. A-R-N. Arn. Now, this is an electrical instrument used to remove wrinkles from clothing, right? Let's all say it together now. A-R-N. Arn. Arn. You arn clothes. Okay? All right. Well, now, you keep that in mind. All right. Now, you see this word? A-W-D-U-H.
Order.
No, you're not.
Order.
Order. Order. Order. All right. Now, this is used two different ways. This, first of all, is a state of affairs that depends on obedience to the law. Like law and
order.
Still not pronounced.
Order.
A-W-D-U-H. Order. Law and order. All right, but it also indicates an obligation that should be fulfilled. I order do this or that. I order. I order fulfill my responsibility. Right?
Very good.
Now,
I can see
that,
good.
I think this is a help. Now, what is that? B-O-B-B-Y D-U-E. No, that's not barbecue. It's Bobby. Barbecue. Barbecue. What is it? Barbecue. This is a delectable Southern dish. How many do not like barbecue? I'm inclined to doubt a person's salvation who doesn't like good pork barbecue. Maybe we should use that to judge the question or something. I don't know. Barbecue. Now, if you haven't tried it, you do so. And I think you will agree it's a delectable Southern dish that is prepared properly in certain areas of North Carolina.
And Florida.
All right. And in thinking about what I just said, now what is this word?
Nothing.
N-A-W-T-H-U-N. Northern. Northern. That's anything that's not Southern. Okay? Northern.
No.
This would indicate that which is or those who are in the N-A-W-T-H. North. Pardon the expression, no. Okay, no. All right. Now, do you think you can remember these words? All right, we'll go over some more as the week progresses so that you will be better able to speak and understand some.
One little course.
Okay.
I have a course. It may be new to you. But we want to sing it each morning this week for the study. This course was taught to us at a Bible conference some years ago. Brother Martin would be remembered, I think. Roy Gustafson was speaking at the conference, and he said he was in Malaysia, and there were about 3,000 young people on the side of a hill there singing this little chorus. I don't think we need to get tired. But this is what he was hearing. Bless thy word unto our hearts, and glorify thy name. Bless thy word unto our hearts, and glorify thy name. Glorify thy name, Lord. Glorify thy name. Bless thy word unto our hearts, and glorify thy name. Let's try it together. We'd like to sing this just before Mr. Schwartz opens the Word of God. Shall we? Bless thy word unto our hearts, and glorify thy name.
Again.
Bless thy word unto our hearts, and glorify thy name. Glorify thy name, Lord. Glorify thy name.
Are you enjoying these foreigners? I wonder how you say shibboleth. That's good. And you know, I think there's just a remote chance that if all of us are here at about 9:25 each morning, we might start a little bit early. So don't come too late, okay? Real treat to have Curly Dixon and Eddie Schwartz with us. And we are going to let the Lord speak to our hearts through his word. Let's just pause for a moment of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you again for the privilege of, at any time in the freedom of this land, and at any time in the freedom of the Spirit of God, to open your word and let you speak to us. And this is why we're here today. Thank you for warming our hearts together in these songs. And our hearts be spoken to now by the Word of God as we listen to it and go from here better prepared to serve and to worship you. Be with our brethren and their wives as they've joined us, and with each of our visitors and guests and our residents, each one of us, oh God, deal with us in your love, in your mercy, and in your truth. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This one little mundane thing, but it's not mundane to those who need it. On Thursday, the bus will be going into the large community of Keystone Heights to visit the supermarkets and the rest of them. But many of you depend upon that bus for your shopping. It will leave here at 10:15 approximately as the meeting is closed. It will stop up at the lodge for some perhaps that can't get down to the meeting on the way out. So keep that in mind for Thursday morning. Now let's listen to our brother Eddie Schwartz in his speech. I certainly trust that no one is offended in any way by a little bit of humor that we might inject here and there. Where's Hurley? Give this brother a gold star, Hurley. Well, it is so good to be here with you. and to share this week together. This morning I thought I would speak about three changes that every Christian will experience. There is much that is being propagated today in the name of Christianity, in the name of Christ, that is proclaimed to be sound Bible doctrine. Some of it is, but some of it we question, some of it we disagree with. I increasingly find Christians who are troubled and perplexed, especially when it comes to experiencing physical problems. There is so much being noised abroad today concerning healing in the atonement. And I have found and continue to find even some Christians who've been saved for some time who become troubled and perplexed over what they hear as to whether or not it's true. For example, it wasn't too awful long ago that a sister called me. She was weeping. She was greatly disturbed. And she is one who has had and continues to have a number of physical problems. In fact, I don't believe I've ever met a person who has had and continues to have as many physical problems as this lady has. And so she was greatly disturbed, and she wanted some help. My wife and I went over to visit with her, and she was just so upset. She said, "Someone sent me some flowers. The lady from the florist came yesterday. And she said to me that, she wanted to know what my problem was, what kind of sickness did I have." And she said, so I began to unload to her. And she said to me, "Well, honey," she said, "if you knew my Lord, you wouldn't be sick." And she said, "Well," I told her, "well, I do know the Lord. I'm saved." "Oh, you are." "Oh," she said, "well, now, the Lord doesn't want you sick any more than he wants you in sin." Now, that might sound good on the surface, at least to some. "Oh," she said, "the Lord doesn't want you sick any more than he wants you in sin. And if you are saved, then quite evidently, it's a lack of faith on your part that you continue to be sick because he doesn't want you sick." And I said to her, I said, "Now, Nancy, you said that this was an older lady?" "Yes." I said, "Did she have gray hair by any chance?" You know, because you reach a certain age, it starts turning, doesn't it? Someone told me, said, "Your hair is turning gray." I said, "I'd rather turn gray than turn loose, but unfortunately, it's doing both." But I said, "You said she was an older lady. She had gray hair." "Yes," said, "she had gray hair." I said, "Did she wear glasses by any chance?" "Yes," said, "she wore glasses." I said, "Did she have wrinkles?" Well, she said, "I don't understand what you're getting at." I said, "Well, did she have wrinkles?" She said, "Well, yes, it's quite obvious that she was an older person." Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I asked the next question. I said, "But was she overweight?" And she said, "Yes," said, "she was a rather large woman." I said, "Now, Nancy, do you mean to tell me that a woman stood before you with gray hair, looking at you through glasses, with wrinkled skin, and overweight, and telling you that you shouldn't have any physical problems?" She said, "Well, it doesn't make any sense, does it?" I said, "No, it doesn't." There is one man on television who is supposed to be such a healer. And he will walk, I saw him one time, that's the only time that I saw him, but he was going down a line and he was touching people and they were falling back. And he's supposed to be one that is used of the Lord to heal people of their physical problems. And he wears a toupee. I don't quite understand that. But there are those, and you are well aware of this. I see them on television. Not that I watch them, but when you're turning some programs, you can't help but come across them somewhere along the line. And there are those who are teaching this, that if you are a Christian, that you shouldn't have any sickness, and you shouldn't be poor either, they say. And they preach and teach what is known as healing in the atonement. Let us think about that this morning as we think about changes that every Christian will experience. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, memorize this verse. I believe it was the first verse. If this were not the first verse, then it was the third verse. If it were the third verse that I memorized, then Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 were the first, or first and second. But memorize this verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And here we have commencement. He which hath begun a good work in you. Commencement. Look at chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God which or who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You can write beside this verse, continuation. He hath begun, commencement. It is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And here you have continuation. Look at chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation, that is our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, or body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I sound as if there's a feedback here. Is this all right? Is this mic all right? Am I at a proper distance? Okay. God shall change our body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And here you have consummation. Consummation. Now the three changes that every Christian will experience, I am convinced, is one is in the past, one is in the present, and one is in the future. Each one of us who is saved can say by the grace of God, a change took place in my life. For me, it was 30 years ago when I received Christ in that personal way as Lord and Savior. Some of you can say it's been much longer than that. Maybe others here would say I haven't been saved quite that long. Well, whenever it was, whenever we were saved, we can say by the grace of God, a change began, or a change took place in the past. God began a work in me. I was transformed by the power of God. I became a child of God. I became a partaker of God's divine nature. And I entered into the family of God, and a change took place, and that change was a spiritual change. And I firmly believe that that is a once-for-all change. Because, like so many of you, possibly all of you, I firmly believe in the eternal security of the believer. It's like a radio being broken. Here's an FM and an AM radio, but the FM part doesn't work. Just the AM part. And I've seen some radios like that. Just the AM part works. But one day, some repair work is done on the radio so that now you can pick up the FM frequencies. Now that is the way it is when one is saved. Before we are saved, we are tuned to the world broadcasting system. We do not know anything about the things of the Lord, their foolishness unto us. We cannot discern spiritual things. We are tuned to the world broadcasting system. But then when we received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we were transformed. Now we're in a position to begin understanding the things of God. Now we can still be tuned to the world broadcasting system, but now we're tuned to the heavenly broadcasting system, right? Before we're saved, the question is it going to be heaven or hell? After we're saved, the question is it going to be heaven or earth? Because we are aware of the fact we still have the old nature. The old nature is not taken away. We were in Israel on one occasion. We were coming up to the Jordan River where we were going to have a baptism, but there were some others ahead of us. They were Pentecostals. And this man was baptizing this person, and he was calling upon the person's old nature to come out of it. His name was Darrell, wasn't it? Darrell. And so the preacher said, "Come out of him, old nature. Come out of him." Curly said, "Now, if you were to hold him under that water just a little longer, it'll come out." Well, we're saved. We still have the old nature, but thank God, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in that personal way, we have a new nature. And so we can say by the grace of God, a change has taken place when we were saved. Whenever that was, a change took place whereby I was brought into the family of God. That was a spiritual change, and that is a once-for-all change. But there's a change that is going on right now. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ephesians 2 and 10 tells us that we are his workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. And so God began a work in us that was a spiritual change that in the past. But he continues to work in us and with us. And that is the change that is going on now in the present. It's a moral change. We said the other night that God's plan for each one of us will differ. Your plan or God's plan for your life will differ from God's plan for my life and so on. We've got a number of plans represented here. But God's purpose is the same for all of us, that we might be conformed more and more to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there is that moral change that is going on right now. This is continuation. But we want to focus in on this third change that we read about in Philippians chapter 3. God shall change our vile body, our body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. This is a change yet to come. It's the bodily change. Spiritual change in the past. The moral change going on now in the present. The bodily change is yet to come. And until that change comes, we will continue to know physical pain. We will continue to have physical problems. Now, I do not want to underestimate in any way the sovereignty of God, the power of God, in answering prayer concerning physical problems. There was Paul who went to the Lord three times, you will remember. He besought the Lord three times for this infirmity that he has, whatever it was. Some say it was poor eyesight. It could have been. I've heard some Bible teachers suggest that he was a hunchback because of all that he suffered as a Christian. He had this infirmity. We don't know just what it was, but we do know that he went to the Lord three times about it. And the Lord said, in essence, "No, I'm not going to take that problem away. I'm going to give that to you, or I'm going to allow you and direct you to keep that as a counterbalance in your life, lest you be exalted above measure." You know, there is suffering that is according to the will of God. You never hear these fellows, at least I've never heard these fellows who propagate what is known as healing in the atonement, preach and teach on that. You'll see it in 1 Peter chapter 4, is it? And maybe you should turn there. 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 15. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Now, that's rather startling, isn't it, that a busybody would be classified with a murderer and a thief and an evildoer. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Look at verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. So there is that suffering that is according to the will of God. Epaphroditus was sick unto death, you remember. And Paul said, in essence, Philippians 2 and verse 25, is it, that this was for, according to the will of God. There is suffering according to the will of God. I was saying to Bill the other day that there are 8 definite signs of old age. 8 definite signs of old age. Would you like to know them? Baldness. Bifocals. Batteries. Bridges. Bulges. Bunions. Body aches. And bad memory. That's the eighth sign. Bad memory. Who was it that said, I see well with my bifocals, my false teeth fit me fine, I get along with my arthritis, but oh, how I miss my mind. Well, thank God there's a change that is yet to come. Now, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. As I said, there are those who preach and teach what is known as healing in the atonement, and in the time that we have, which is not much, let us look at a couple of verses of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now I am suggesting to you that verse 4 was fulfilled, and listen to me carefully, verse 4 was fulfilled in the earthly ministry of our Lord. And verse 5 was fulfilled when he was upon the cross. Oh, I know there are those who would go to verses like Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who healeth all thy diseases. But the psalmist did not say, bless the Lord, O my body. What did he say? Bless the Lord, O my soul, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, as we said, there is that change yet to come when all of the bodily ailments and sicknesses will be healed as well. I do believe in healing in the atonement, and 1 second after the rapture, I'll show you why. Did you get that?
Amen.
Okay. 1 second after the rapture, I'll show you why I believe in healing in the atonement. But until then, we're going to know pain, we're going to know suffering, we're going to know discomfort, we're going to know agony, we're going to have headaches, heartaches, backaches, we're going to have other physical problems, because some of these are according to the will of God. And I firmly believe in the sovereignty of God, that he does answer prayer, he hears and answers prayer, but it seems to me that in so many instances, the Lord allows things to take their natural course. In thinking of bodily sickness, it seems to me that in so many instances, he allows things to take their natural course. Now, I said I'm suggesting to you that verse 4 was fulfilled in his earthly ministry. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, that we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, let me show you why I believe that. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Now you need to read Isaiah chapter 61 and read what the prophet of God said concerning this one who would come, the Messiah, the King. Read what Isaiah said concerning his ministry, what he would do. Because Isaiah writes by inspiration of God that he would enter into the sicknesses, the infirmities of people, and he would heal them of these. Now, I said Matthew chapter 9. I should have said Matthew chapter 8. Turn back one page. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 3, for the sake of time, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, that is, the leper, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. When you read on down the page, you will find the centurion coming to the Lord and praying that the Lord would come to his house and heal his servant, or that he would heal his servant. The Lord was going to go to his house. And the centurion said, Lord, you don't have to go to my house. I have men under me, and I give orders, and they obey. All you have to do is speak the word. And the Lord Jesus said, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. That's verse 13. So be it done unto thee. And the Lord healed this servant from a distance. The Lord did not have to touch him. Why did he touch the leper? He didn't have to touch the leper either, did he? He did not have to touch the leper. He could have spoken the word. Verse 15, we read of him healing Peter's mother-in-law, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. But look at verse 7. Why did he touch these ones? He didn't have to. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Now, do you see that, dear friends? That verse was fulfilled in his earthly ministry. You see, the Jews associated all kinds of diseases with the judgment of God. And the Lord Jesus, in healing people of their diseases, in touching them, he entered into, as it were, their infirmity. Now, the Lord Jesus, in touching the leper, did not become a leper. Ceremonially, he became unclean. Underscore that now. Ceremonially, he became unclean when he touched the leper. But he touched them that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. He did that in his earthly ministry. And then Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 or 5 was fulfilled on the cross when he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And the Lord Jesus entered into the physical problems, the physical infirmities of people to authenticate his power to deal with sin and its consequences. Mark chapter 2 once again. When the Lord Jesus healed the man of the leprosy and some questioned, they thought accusingly of the Lord, who can forgive sins but God only? And the Lord Jesus said, but that ye might know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, I say unto thee, take up thy bed and walk. So he took upon himself their sicknesses, their infirmities. He healed them of these things to authenticate his power to deal with sin and its consequences when he went to the cross. So the one was fulfilled in his earthly ministry and the other on the cross. And it was on the cross that he bare our sins. I believe it was in his earthly ministry he bare our sicknesses and our infirmities. But it was on the cross that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So with each one of us who is a Christian, there's a change in the past, a spiritual change. There's a change going on in the present, a moral change. And there's a change yet to come, a bodily change. No more headaches, no more backaches, no more any kind of aches. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you might remember, spoke about the body being sown in corruption, but raised in incorruption, shown in weakness, but raised in glory. And our bodies will continue to know pain and sickness until we leave this life, apart from the coming of the Lord, until we leave this body and go to be with the Lord. And then that body of the believer will be planted as precious seed in view of the resurrection day. Now, please keep in mind, I do not want to underestimate in any way the sovereignty of God, His power in answering prayer concerning physical sickness. But in so many instances, it seems to me the Lord allows things to take their natural course. But we have a living hope. You see, we are linked to God through the Spirit in the spiritual change. But we are still connected to this earth that's under the curse, still under the curse, through our bodies. But we have a living hope, don't we?